We're continuing our series, Jesus in His Own Words, as we move towards Easter, because I think it's important that we understand Jesus from Jesus, and His words are important. He didn't throw words around with no intent. Everything He did was purposeful and full of intent, and He was always speaking to people, and sometimes people in particular, and God in the flesh, Jesus, also used some analogies, some illustrations of who He was to the people. And there's probably no more famous statement that Jesus made in His relationship, in how He viewed His relationship to people, than the statement He says, "I am the Good Shepherd." That spoke volumes to the people in that culture. Now, all through the Old Testament, numerous times, prophets spoke of God as being the shepherd over the people of Israel. And they spoke it not only of the religious leaders being shepherds, but anybody in a place of authority was considered to be a shepherd. Shepherding was a big deal in an agrarian society. It was probably, meat-wise, lamb was probably the most popular meat the people ate in Israel at the time. So lambs and sheep provided a great resource for the people, and then also clothing. With the wool they produced, much of the clothing came from them, so they were a valuable asset. Shepherds were not looked at, generally speaking, with as a real high occupation, but numerous people that God used in the Old Testament were shepherds, and David is one of the most famous. But God's view of the shepherds was that they were supposed to take care of the flock, feed it, nurture it, guide it. But over time, God gave a synopsis of His view of what the shepherds did to the people of Israel, to their flock. And in Ezekiel 34, we probably have the foremost condemnation of them as a group, their religious leaders as a group, from God's perspective. So I want to start by reading that to you today, because it's important, because it lays the groundwork of what Jesus would say hundreds of years later. So if we turn to Ezekiel 34, the prophet Ezekiel says this: "Then this message came to me from the Lord," verse 1. "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, you wear the wool, and you butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. You have not taken care of the weak, and you have not tended the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey for any wild animal. They have wandered through all the mountains and the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, you abandoned my flock and left them to be attacked by every wild animal. And though you were my shepherds, you didn't search for my sheep when they were lost. You took care of yourselves and left the sheep to starve." So this is his synopsis of what they've done. They failed miserably. They didn't take care of the sheep, and they didn't make the sheep safe. And they didn't invite other sheep in. He says in verse 9, "Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I now consider these shepherds my enemies, and I will hold them responsible for what has happened to my flock. I will take away their right to feed the flock, and I will stop them from feeding themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths. The sheep will no longer be their prey. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. And I will find my sheep and rescue them. Hallelujah. 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 So the people have been waiting hundreds of years for this shepherd that would come and rescue them. So in John chapter 10, Jesus is at the temple. He's at there during the Feast of Tabernacles, which was one of the three feasts mandated for all Jewish men to participate in and to go to Jerusalem. So there's, again, a couple million people. He uses this avenue for him to share with the people that he is the good shepherd. He is the one that has come. Now, before he does that, because context, there's always a context to everything, and that simply means that there are things going around everyone's life that impact their lives. So one of the things Jesus said when he started his ministry in Nazareth was that I have come to heal the blind, to give sight to the blind. It is one of the statements in Isaiah chapter 63 that states what this shepherd will do when he comes. He will bind up the brokenhearted. He will heal the lame. He will find the lost. He will give sight to the blind. So Jesus in chapter 9, before he says anything in chapter 10, he is walking along in Jerusalem, and there's this blind guy. So he has him stand up, and he heals him of his blindness. This blind guy immediately starts running around and goes to the religious leaders and says, I forgot my sight. And they did not believe that he was really blind. That's how rare healing of blindness ever happened. In fact, if someone was healed from blindness, that was a direct sign from God. So the religious leaders say to this guy, I don't know if you're ever blind to start with. So they went and got his parents. And his parents said, yeah, he was blind. And so they have this conversation, and he says, well, how did you get your sight? He says, this guy named Jesus came and gave me my sight. And they said, well, first of all, he healed him on a Sabbath, which was considered work. Healing was considered work, which God didn't want to do in their mindset. And so they're saying, well, he couldn't have healed you. That would have been a sin. So we know that God doesn't have sinners do stuff. So what? And so they let him go. But then they keep talking about it because he's sharing this all around the area. I was blind. Now I see. And he's making this big stink about it. And in their minds, it was actually a glorious thing. So they call him in again. And they said, hey, tell us again what happened to you. He said, I already told you. Do you want to follow this guy? This guy named Jesus. They said, give the glory to God. He says, this guy isn't from God. You know, God does this. He goes, well, I don't know all that. What I do know is I was blind, and now I see, and this guy did it. And they said, well, we know that you're a sinner and that he's a sinner, so we don't know. This must be from the enemy or something. And they argue amongst themselves, and then he takes off. Then Jesus goes and finds him, and he says to him, hey, do you want to know who the Son of Man is? Who is the Messiah? The guy goes, absolutely. He goes, you're looking at him. And it says this, that he knelt down and worshiped Jesus. Jesus received worship, which was a sign of God. Now, the other people are seeing this. And the religious leaders are seeing this because they're all in Jerusalem too. And so the very next thing Jesus does at the temple is he starts to give an illustration of a good shepherd. And so we pick up this story because these are the words of Jesus referring to himself as the fulfillment of what the Old Testament said, that the Messiah would be the good shepherd. And so he says this, and we pick the story up. I tell you the truth. So he's telling the truth, and he's speaking to the people, and he's mainly speaking to the religious leaders. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and comes to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Then he says this in verse 4, after he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Now, there's two types of shepherd folds we're going to see in this story. This is the first one. Around Jerusalem area, people saw shepherds all over the place. But around Jerusalem area, about a 15-mile wide parcel of land and about 20 miles long is all plateau. And in that plateau, there's ravines and crevices. There's huge rocks. And it's hilly, so grass grows in between all these different places. So one of the shepherd's job is to lead his flock to grass. Why? Because one of the problems with sheep is they don't know what's good for them and what's bad for them. You get the analogy that God calls us sheep. They'll eat food that is actually poisonous to them, and they will eat wherever they're at. They'll eat food that gives them indigestion, and sometimes they get so bloated with indigestion, they fall right over, and they get stuck. Sheep also have a tendency that when it's cold, they will climb on each other to stay warm. The problem with that is the bottom sheep suffocate to death because they got all that massive wool in their face and all this weight on their bodies. So sheep have problems. Another thing sheep do is they panic and they will literally run off cliffs. And they don't even know why they panic. I can be eating if I'm a sheep, and all of a sudden this guy starts getting sketchy. I'm getting sketchy. If they're having a problem, I'm having a problem. And they will run, and has anybody ever done this, taken a bad situation? You're panicking, there's a cliff, and made it worse. That's what sheep do. They are not capable animals by themselves. They are defenseless against an enemy. They need a shepherd. So you're talking about a people that are steeped in this culture, of very familiar with shepherding and sheep. So the first example Jesus gives them is that during certain times of the season, the grass, especially in early spring, and is plentiful around the villages. So the shepherds will take their sheep out, feed them all day long, bring them back into the city, and take them into a sheepfold. Then they will hire a watchman, or later on it's called a hireling, to guard that sheep pen while the shepherds go home and they sleep for the night. Then they come back, and the guard, the gateman will let them in, and they'll do whatever sound they make, click. They have different sounds that their sheep are familiar with, and they will come out. The entrance to those sheepfolds is about 1.5 sheep wide. So the sheep have to come out one by one, and that's one way they check when they come in. They check if there's any injuries to them, anything's going on. And when they leave, they're able to count the sheep that belong to a shepherd. And only the sheep that belong to that shepherd respond to the call. So Jesus said, anybody that doesn't come through that gate, through the watchman, is there to harm the sheep. And these walls in the town were much higher than way out in the open field, which I'll tell you about. These are about 10-foot high walls. So in order to steal the sheep, he said, there's two kinds of of bad people involved. One or thief. If you know anything about a thief, thieves do things sneakily. They use deception. If someone's going to rob your house, they would be considered a thief in the sense of they see when you're gone. They scope it out. They're not trying to hurt anybody. They're just trying to take your stuff. The other group of people, he said, that were dangerous to the sheep were robbers. Those are the violent ones. Those are the ones that put a gun in your chest. If you've ever been robbed, someone is willing to do violence to you to get what you got. He says, listen, there's thieves and there's robbers. And in anybody breaking into the sheepfold while it was in town would usually be, at least be a two-man operation. They would boost one of them over the wall. The sheep won't follow him. So what's he got to do? Kill the sheep. They slit the sheep's throat and they hoist him back over the wall. And that way the guy on the other side, or the two guys, however many guys there were, they were there to take the wool, to steal the meat, while all the other stuff of the sheep. So he says anybody that doesn't come in through the gate has harm in mind toward the sheep. So he says this is how it works in the city. So Jesus gives this example. Then he says when the shepherd comes in the morning to get his sheep, he will lead those sheep out. He'll do his whatever sounds that he and the sheep know. They will follow him, and then he will lead them to pasture. He will lead them to where they need to go that day. And that's one aspect. So after Jesus explains this situation to him, it tells us this in the next verse. Verse 6 says, those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. They heard what he was saying, but they didn't register that he was talking about the religious leaders who were watching him and not caring for the sheep. And he had the example of this blind guy who he had healed. So there was this quandary those shepherds were in, and they didn't get the connection. So Jesus takes it to another level, and he explains it this way. He says, so he explained it to them, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. Well, you just said you were the guy that came in the gate, and now you're saying you're the gate. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life, or a good sheep life. Now, the thief, a lot of us know John 10:10 because we attribute that statement to the devil a lot, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and throw. And it's interesting he used the word thief and not thief and robber as he used earlier. It's because this person with this sheepfold has to be sneaky. So when he says, I am the gate for the sheep, he painted a different picture for them. He gave them the city sheepfold, and now he's going to talk to them about the field sheepfold. Because when the grass was no longer edible, there wasn't any supply near the villages, the shepherds would have to take them out farther into the country. And they would meander out and lead them to wherever there was water and where there's grass. And then they would have to sleep there the night. The hireling wasn't around anymore. So what they had in those enclosures were man-made with rocks. They would take tumbleweeds. They take manzanita bush. They take whatever they can to build a wall about this high. So instead of 10 feet high in the village, they would build it lower. And then they would, in the doorway, they wouldn't have a gate. And one of the shepherds' job that night was to literally lay across the entrance and be the gate for the sheep. He was the one that protected the sheep. His job was to be the entrance and the exit for the sheep. He was responsible for the sheep. Now, anybody that would want to, or any animal that would want to come in, would have to use deception and would have to be sneaky. And so the wolves, and that you'd have other prey out there that would be dangerous. So he used the analogy of a, or the illustration of a sheep. So Jesus said, I am the gate. So you and I'm giving you the background of kind of what's going on, but those guys that he's speaking to would understand exactly what he was talking about. They saw it their whole life. They lived in that environment. So he says, listen, I'm the shepherd, and the watchman can be a hireling. I'm a shepherd for the sheep, and I am the gate. Nobody comes in or out of my fold except by me. Then in verse 11, he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. That's what makes him a good shepherd. He cares about the sheep. He is willing to give up his life for the care of his sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. He says, a hired hand, speaking of the first group he was talking about, the one that they hired to watch him at night, will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him, and he isn't their shepherd. So the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Now, if we take this illustration and we apply it to people, he is talking about the Jews. These were my people. I've had shepherds over them. They were supposed to be taken care of, but in reality, they became hirelings. They were in it for themselves. And you know what? I get that, you know, and I also get being a shepherd. And this is the other thing. You're a sheep all the time. I'm a sheep too, and a shepherd. When he said he would take these sheep and give them a full and abundant life, when I was younger in the Lord and I looked at that, I thought it meant I would have nothing but good stuff in life. My idea of abundance was my idea of abundance. What I found out was that the abundant life is every aspect of life. You, taking it to us, I'm a sheep. So whatever sheep experience, I experience. I'm a sheep. So Jesus, in this instance, is talking about the Israelites. They were in the pen in the city. They were at the temple. They had the shepherds, and these shepherds only cared about themselves and sacrificed the flock. Then they would go outside. They would sacrifice them in the hills. They'd sacrifice them in the village because it was about them. When I was young in the Lord, I thought my ministry. See, I've shared it with you guys before. I wanted to build God's ministry, but I wanted to build Joe's kingdom too. And it was because in my brokenness, I thought that if I had a lot, that meant I was successful. I was worthy. I had talent and skill, and I had all these ideas that I love the sheep, but the sheep needed to do something for me too, which is they should show up. And as often as possible, sing my praises. I did have those kind of thoughts. I know, thankfully, that's all changed in the last 3 weeks. But, just kidding. But God had to teach me, you know. And I've always cared for the sheep, but it really becomes, when you're a shepherd, about the sheep. The greatest joy I have in ministry is seeing lives change, is seeing aha moments. Is seeing somebody that was this way and God has taken them and made them a different way. That's what makes it all worthwhile. It makes it all worthwhile. And you ought to learn about something, you know, and this is the other thing. See, you're sheep too. When you come into the kingdom of God, which he's going to talk about in a second, you got to learn to get along with the other sheep. How many know that? And you come from wherever pastures you came from. And you've got, there's this whole nother dynamic that starts to take place in learning to follow the shepherd. Because this is what he says. Then he says to them, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. So he's given the bigger picture. He says, there are other sheep out there, lost, wandering, that are not part of my sheepfold. They're That's why Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he says, I've come to seek and find the lost. If I have the 99 sheep in the sheepfold, I leave them there. Why? Because they're safe. I've protected them. And I go and look for the one sheep that's lost. That's what a good shepherd does. He or she cares for what God has. He says, listen, I have other sheep. Now remember, he's saying this at the temple. These guys are getting more and more offended at him because they're beginning to snap too that this guy, I think he's talking about us. And they're snapping. And then he says there's others that are not even a part of this group. He says, listen, I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice and there will be one flock and one shepherd. He says, the Father loves me, verse 17, because I sacrifice my love, my life, so I may take it back up again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily. For I have the authority to lay it down when I want to and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. That's an amazing statement. This is the greatest thing about Jesus as being shepherd. He laid his life down. But then he came back to life. He's still shepherding. There's been a lot of good shepherds throughout history that have laid their life down, and sometimes even unto death, but they didn't come back to shepherd. Jesus has come back to shepherd. So, and he has looked for us out there in the world. Out there, in us, and he looks and he finds us. We don't even know his voice until one day we hear something that triggers us to God. Whatever that is, however we hear it, when we hear it. And God does something, and then we begin to listen to his voice. Now, this is the thing you need to understand. You're a sheep, but you're also a shepherd. Everyone in here is a shepherd. The place where you go to work, the people you are around that are not in the sheepfold of God, God allows you to be that sheep. He will lead you into that pasture. And this is the thing that becomes attractive to those lost in the sheepfold, is how you respond to the same things every other sheep deals with. When the tragedy hits you, when the circumstance changes, when life is not okay, the other sheep are panicking, they're eating the wrong food, they're chasing all this, they're doing whatever they're doing, and you and I get to be a consistent sheep. When they're all panicking, I'm still eating. These are a jumpy bunch of people. You're a sheep. You're a sheep. When he says he's come to give you an abundant life, abundance means being consistent in life, what sheep don't have. And it isn't about you hammering them with a Bible. It is about you living what the shepherd has told you. And living it out. So not only are you a sheep wherever God sends you, you are also a shepherd. Wherever God has you, you are a shepherd of that flock. You have to be the one that when they need some food, give it to them. You give them words of life. Words are life and death, Scripture says. What you speak at your family, in all the little sheepfolds God leads you into, or those that aren't in a sheepfold and just running around damaged, wounded, bit by the wolves, lost in their own thinking, troubled in all their ways, you get to be there. That's where the shepherd leads you. And you know what begins to happen? As you follow his voice in your life, they begin to hear it a little bit through your actions. They begin to hear it a little bit through your words. When the opportunity arises, you get to be that person. And this is the other thing about being a sheep. You're always going to have sheep issues. You're always going to have sheep issues. And you know what? It's hard to follow the shepherd every day. Today, I'm driving to church. And at Beach Boulevard, there's like three different people that panhandle there. I don't know them by name because I never take the time to do that. But to my... yeah, I know. I'm the leader here. And I'm kind of slick, too, because I can pull in... You ever do this? Pull in the middle lane? So you don't have to be the lane right next to them. You can be in that middle safe lane, and hopefully they're not going to hammer you about it. How many have ever done that? I wouldn't raise my hand either. But I'm telling you, I'm that guy. So today, you know, and sometimes it ain't a big deal. Sometimes it is, you know, I mean, sometimes... But today, God told me to give them, you know, I'm sitting there and it's, and this is the worst when it's just you and them. Nobody else has pulled off yet. So we're having this little intimate time. They're staring me down and I'm trying not to look. Let me put on Waymaker. Sing some praise songs to Jesus. And lock the door. So anyways, me and God are having this conversation this morning, and I always know I'm in trouble when he calls me Pastor Joe. You know, so I'm gonna give this lady some money, and I see her there all the time, and so I pull out my wallet, you know, and I have like two ones and 20s. I'm thinking, maybe one will be good enough. Does anybody else do that? See, because I'm still a sheep. I'm still a sheep. And sometimes I ain't listening to the shepherd's voice. And he's telling me one thing and I still got a battle. And you know what? This is the thing I've learned about being a sheep. I'm a sheep all my life. I still have a tendency to get lost. I still have a tendency to think what I think. That doesn't ever end. You do not reach a spiritual plateau someday that you are no longer a sheep. You are always a sheep in need of a shepherd. And sometimes the shepherd and I are on the same wavelength. He does his click and I jump. And there are other times when the shepherd speaks and I fight him. I kick him, and that's what sheep do too. And so the Lord was telling me, give her some money. So, you know, just when I'm about to give it to her, the light changes. So it's like, well next time. Seriously, that's how it happened. But I put the money aside and said, next time I see her, because I see her many times a week. And, you know, I will definitely give it to her. But that's just a small instance of not being a good sheep to another sheep that God told me to be a good sheep to. Yeah, so I had to repent first service. But second service, feel real good. I'm forgiven. Anyway, got that off my chest. You know what I fear now? Driving home and Teresa going, Joe, you had to share that? And it's like, I can't help myself. But I share this with you to let you know that you're sheep and you're shepherds too. You are a sheep wherever God puts you. You are not better than anyone else. You are not less than anyone else. You are still called to be that. And that abundant life, and that's one of the reasons we suffer. What we don't want to suffer sometimes, but we suffer because other sheep suffer it. And the way to reach that sheep, God has to make it not only sheep commonality, but situation and circumstance, loss, all the other kinds of commonality, as well as blessing. Because, see, when you handle life differently when you're in crisis, that's very impactful to the other sheep. And when you handle life differently in abundance, that's very different to the other sheep. They don't understand that, and that begins to open their ears to another way of life. I'll tell you, my last 4 years of driving a beer truck, I led many people to the Lord on my route and in the yard. Not because I was some guy preaching all the time. I just lived differently. I had scriptures in my beer truck. You ever want to see something that's kind of weird? Is I had scriptures taped onto my, because you have your own truck. So I had scriptures taped on there, and that was a source of, conversation. And I had it because I needed it. I needed to hear the shepherd's voice when I was in the midst of stuff. I needed to be tuned into the shepherd in that early part of my walk. And many a times I would call my sponsor a couple times during the day on the route, especially in the early one, temptation was just all over me and struggling. And I needed that shepherd voice into my life. And I needed that support. And I learned to be a different guy. I didn't steal no more. I wasn't sneaky. I was a guy that had a consistency about him. And that's what you and I need to bring into our world. Is there a place in your world where you're not consistent? Does something make you angry, and when you're angry, you're all over the place? Well, then that needs to be honed in. We need to be consistent. I need to be the same guy. Doesn't mean I can't get mad, but I need to be the same guy in circumstances that I'm in bad circumstances as I am in good circumstances. Sheep that are sketchy already and hinky in their own ways and all that, they need people in their lives that do the do no matter what. And, I can share this. The last 2 years, I've been basically putting one foot in front of the other, just trying to navigate. And I feel like in these last number of months, I'm coming out of that to a different place. I'm coming out of to a place of refreshment and vision and stuff. Something's changed, both with Teresa and I. Our posture and our world is changed. But in those 2 years, sometimes the best I could do was just put one foot in front of the other. Just keep on keeping on. Don't go sideways. Don't go up or down, just, do what I know I need to do and listen to the shepherd. And you know what? The shepherd was very gracious to me because he allowed me to be in the pen a lot. And he fed. And that's where the other sheep get to minister to. When I was in the world and something went south, nobody was there. I don't know if you know that in your world. When in my world of dark stuff, you were all together till someone gets busted. Then they're on their own. In the kingdom, in God's kids, when something goes south, the other sheep minister. And they, and a lot of times, we get to be shepherds to one another. So it's a crazy dynamic. We have the great shepherd Jesus, who also was fully man, so he became a sheep. But he was also the shepherd, and he's... As the shepherd, he died to save us, and now he's resurrected to always be our shepherd. And then we get to be shepherds and sheep in different scenarios. If you God has placed, you're all shepherds of something, starting with yourself. And then you're a shepherd over whoever God has with you and whatever place of a responsibility you have. I want to not be an Ezekiel 34 shepherd. I do not want to be that guy. I do not want to be that. I'm sold out to not being that guy. When I face the Lord, I want him to say, good and faithful servant, you did what I called you to do. Not perfectly, but you did. You tried. And you did. You impacted good. And so that's what I want. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for you guys. You're all sheep and you're all shepherds. Handle your sheepness well. When you go through what sheep go through, remember the other sheep. Quit looking at people as some kind of something else. Our enemy is the devil. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He seeks to go into the sheep pen. Our battle is not against the other sheep. We are to help the other sheep. And the best way we do it is to be a good sheep ourselves. That's attractive. And so when God gives you the opportunity to be a shepherd, to speak life, to feed, to whatever it is that you can help another sheep with, take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. And know that God, before they even know their call, that's why I never call anybody an unbeliever. I call them pre-believers. I don't know what they're going to believe. They believe something. I don't know if God has already called them to be his sheep, and they don't know. I tend to flow that way. I believe God's called them. They just haven't recognized it yet. They haven't heard the voice. So I need to be that example so that they know that that guy's listening to something. What's he listening to? Maybe I should check that out. Make them hungry for it. Make them hungry. Let those sheep see what you eat and see how that changes your life. They kind of get hungry. Sheep are curious. Let them be that. Amen? Yeah. All right, why don't we stand up? So first thing you need to know or check out, like me today with God, you might be not really listening to God in a particular area of his leading. Like every day I get off at Beach Boulevard, me and God run through a scenario. We do, too. It's like I've often thought, you know what, I'm just getting off at Magnolia. Or Golden West and come the other way, you know. God says, oh, you're a tough one, aren't you? I know. I hope your issues are as small as that, but see, that's a big issue to me. It's and any issue God is dealing with you is a big issue to you. To some of you, what I just shared with you is like nothing. In fact, you've never even noticed that person standing there. But to you, your thing is big. So is there an area you're fighting the shepherd in? First of all, we need to repent of that. I'm sorry about fighting you in this area. I'm sorry about not, you know, being disobedient, being obstinate, running away, whatever it is. And so if you find that area, first of all, I want to lead you in a prayer to repent of that. And then pray that, God, I want to be a sheep that hears your voice well. And then, God, when you put me in the place of shepherding, because see, if God tells you to go pray for somebody, if God tells you to go do this for somebody, that's a shepherd role. That's not a sheep role. That's a shepherd role. You are going to minister to that person. You are going there as a representative of someone from the great shepherd. You're the under shepherd. You get to be a blessing to that person. Some of us fight that. So let's first say a prayer of repentance. Lord Jesus, I repent for fighting against you in this particular area. You know what area it is. I know what area it is. I'm done. I want to follow you. Handle my skittishness, my fear, whatever it is that stops me. In my sheepness, from following the shepherd, I want you to kill it in me. And I thank you for that. Now, God, when you use me as a shepherd, or want to use me as a shepherd, help me to embrace that, to take that role seriously, and to not be like those guys in Ezekiel 34. That if you tell me to feed, I'll feed. If you tell me to give, I'll give. If you tell me to lay down my life, I will. I'll sacrifice. Because it's worth it. Because I do care for the sheep. Especially those that are not in the fold. Who you put around me. Help me to be a good sheep. And a good shepherd. When I'm out there. And I thank you for that. And all God's kids said? Amen. All right. God bless you guys.